You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
FM. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
With your hosts, Dawn Price, Mark Miller, and Scott Hayes. The Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Okay. You're listening to KX93.5 Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is the Friendship Show. In the studio today, of course, we always have Dawn Price. Dawn, how are you doing today?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we're coming up, by the way, on the Friendship Shelter 25th anniversary on November 1st.
We are. It's going to be an incredible party. We hope everybody's gotten their invitations. If you haven't gotten your invitation, we have a website just for this party.
Oh, wow.
FriendshipShelterGala.com.
Okay.
And you can just go there, FriendshipShelterGala.com, and find out all about how to get tickets, how to sponsor. If you have an auction item you want to donate, it's all right there. It's going to be
beautiful.
Tremendous. Great Gatsby theme.
A Great Gatsby theme, which I think is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. There's a lot of surprises, lots of celebration for a great cause.
That sounds great. Yeah. Also in the studio, of course, Mark Miller. Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Mark and I are becoming BFFs, by the way. Best friends forever. We've been talking about
it. You're working on a bit of a surprise yourself.
We're working
for the
on
gala.
That's right. Yeah. And Mark is, I'm telling you, he's a great creative partner.
I know that.
Yeah.
It's been like over 5 years that Mark's been my creative partner.
Yeah. Ask him if he felt that yesterday after 10 hours in the editing suite.
I told him on the way home, don't talk to me on the way home because we were up in the editing studio.
I've had that experience too, Scott. I'm sure he's felt the same about me.
All right. Hey, also in the studio, of course, we have the Sparkle Film crew, Corey and Cyrus, and photographer Faye Chapman.
It's cozy in here.
It is, yeah. Hey, our guest this morning is a returning guest, actually, John Batdorf, who was here, maybe 2 months ago
with James
Lee Stanley talking about the All Wood and Stones 2 album.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But he's here today to talk about a brand new project that just came out on Addiction Recovery. Everybody, of course, we've chatted about this before, knows you from the Batdorf and Rodney days. You guys performed with the likes of Dan Fogelberg, Hall & Oates, Kris Kristofferson, Jackson Browne, Linda Ronstadt, Fleetwood Mac, the Doobie Brothers, America. I mean, you guys had a steady gig for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, about 5.5 years.
Yeah. But you're so far removed from those days.
I am.
And you also moved on to become sort of a solo career as a composer for TV shows like Touched by an Angel and Promised Land.
Yes.
And, of course, obviously as a singer-songwriter. And you travel around the country still performing to this day. How many days out of the year would you say you travel around performing at various venues?
Yeah, I've never figured it out, but I bet I do maybe between 80 and 100 shows a year.
Wow.
Which is enough for me.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm old. Hearing music. I think we've got music.
Uh-oh. Are we ready?
Sure. You want to hear it?
I'd be a liar if I said that I'm all right. There's no denying that I'm better than I've been. But every hour I'm alone, it's still a fight. But I don't always win. No need to tell me what will happen if I lose. I know the hell that will await me once again. But it's a battle that's the reason for these blues. 'Cause I don't always win. No, I don't always win. Such a sweet companion when I feel abandoned. Keeps poisoning when I go another round. Have you decided yet whose corner you'll be in? If it's a champion you think you might have found, well, I don't know. always win. Still that sweet companion when I feel abandoned, keeps poisoning. That I'm all right. There's no denying that I'm better than I've been. But every hour that I'm alone, it's still a fight that I don't always win. No, I don't always win.
I Don't Always Win by John Batdorf and Michael McLean.
Yes,
off claim. The new CD, the Addiction Recovery album titled Soundtracks to Recovery. This is KX93.5 FM in the studio, John Batdorf today. Mm-hmm. We also have Michael McLean on the phone, which we'll bring in, who we'll bring in a little bit.
Great.
Let's talk. We kind of made a mistake. We were going to play another song. We ended up playing that one. Talk to me a little bit about the song we just played.
Well, I Don't Always Win was written in 2005, I believe, and there's a reason we did this project. First of all, I've been in a band my whole life, so I've seen drugs, and I've lost band members, and right. have had bands break up because of it, and had family members who have been addicts, as has Michael McLean, and so you know we know about. You know, what kind of devastation this can cause. So we had this idea. So the first song that you just played, I Don't Always Win, was written just because we believe in the power of music and how it can affect people more so than if you were just to speak those words to them, especially when they see someone live play. So we wrote that song, and as the years went on, we thought that we should make an album. And so we tested it out in front of I think it was 700 people. We went to an addiction recovery place in Utah, and nobody knew who we were. You know, we were just these two old guys that walked in and said, "We're going to play some songs for you." And it was a remarkable experience for everyone, yeah. including us, because we didn't know if they would, you know, if we were, you know, had some vision that didn't exist. And as it turned out, it was so spot on, and everyone came up to us at the end of the show and wanted to buy the CD, which hadn't been recorded yet.
Right.
So that was inspirational to us that we knew we were onto something. And so actually been making this record since 2006. And
long time.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah.
And I went down to Columbia, Missouri last year and played at a place called Phoenix House, which I'm going back next week. Mm-hmm. And it was a noon to a one, and the addicts were in the room, which was different because it was all lit up. Normally at shows you don't see people's faces, but wow, it was incredible to watch people's faces when you played songs. You could tell what line reached
resonated
them,
and
you see people just openly just start weeping, and it's really for me at this point in my life and my career, it's very rewarding to to be able to reach out like that, it's great.
Yeah, that sounds great, John. I mean, you know, the music industry especially seems to have issues related to addictions. This album is not just about drug and alcohol
addiction. No, it is not.
It's about all sorts of addictions. And you and Michael McLean or McLean?
McLean.
McLean. Have been working on this since, you said, 2006, 2007, a long time. Did you initially envision this as sort of a 12-step type program?
Oh, yeah, we did, but it's funny that, you know, Michael and I met in late 1989, I believe it was, and now we've been writing songs together for over 20 years, and we went back and looked at the catalog, and some of the songs that we had written over the years, like Let It Go, Forgiveness. We almost feel like the reason we wrote any of these songs was for this project. We just didn't know it. You know, it took us 20 years to figure it out.
Right.
Because some of the songs are so spot on for what this is. And, you know, and in reality, you know, I mean, I'm 61 years old. Michael's the same age. And actually, his due date was my birthday, which is very, very odd.
Wow.
He just came late. He had a big head.
thanks.
That's what
he's on the phone. He's on the phone. Michael, we might as well introduce you right now.
Yeah. So you just talk about old guys. Speak for yourself, John.
Yeah.
How old are you, Michael?
Hey, I'm just doing great, and have been enjoying the conversation on a gorgeous fall day up here in the mountains.
Yeah. Michael, where are you located, by the way?
I'm in a valley in Wasatch County, about 15 minutes from four different ski resorts between beautiful. Sundance and Park City, in a little place called Daniel, Utah.
Wow, it sounds like a beautiful place. You know, John was sort of mentioning his personal sort of relationship with this issue of addiction and addiction recovery. Do you have sort of a similar type of personal attachment to this issue?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. My connection is with a family member who had a sexual addiction, and so I was sitting in on a lot of those 12-step things and watching what was going. And one of the first things that happens when you go to those 12-step things that you recognize is, A, that could be me. I mean, all of the judgmentalness that you may have had before of those guys that are addicted or going to, that goes out the window. And second of all, you realize everybody's recovering from something. Everybody's got something that is wounded or afflicted or challenged them. And one of the challenges with this project, and John and I have talked about this a lot, is that on the one hand, if you don't write songs like I Don't Always Win that tell the truth about it in a kind of a painful but honest way, the people who are going through it give you no credibility. But on the other hand, we didn't want to do an album that was such a downer because, oh my gosh, the world is so hard and so difficult, that we wanted to present in an authentic way the hope that comes from it, that there are songs that actually can inspire us to hold on a little longer or to have courage or to not feel so alone. And so walking that line, And this is what John does so brilliantly as a vocalist.
Right.
He's such a great singer and sings from a place in his soul that if you're listening, you know you're getting more than just one of the great studio singer voices in L.A. for the last 20 years. You're getting his spirit coming out. It's great.
Well, I love that, man. I love that a lot. And that's... Don, did you want to say something real quickly?
No.
Oh, that's a nice segue.
Scratching
my face. Oh, I didn't know you were saying something. That's a nice segue, John, to maybe a song. Or do you want to go back and revisit the first song we're going to play? And you can talk a little bit about this first song and why you think it's important we hear this song first.
Well, it's because, as I mentioned earlier, Michael and I both believe in the power of song and how it can reach people. And it's a bit of an autobiography about me and what I love to do and how much I love singing and playing. And so we should play this song. It's called Ain't Dead Yet. And it's really about it's a story that as long as you're still alive, you can always change and you can always fix things. And
And just let me add, think of this song as the opening song of a concert about songs to help people who need to be on the road to recovery and need some help.
That sounds great. And then, Michael, we're going to come back. We're going to keep you on the phone, come back and chat with you as well.
Great.
To me, you appear to be sort of a Renaissance man, and I've got a lot of interesting questions for you. I hope you don't mind.
Mark, no, that'd be fabulous.
Okay, Mark, you want to take us away to Ain't Dead Yet?
Guitar, I like that best. I'm not a star, oh, but I've been blessed. I sing real high, that pays the rent. Some days I wonder why am I this guy, and what is all this meant? I share these tunes straight from the heart, and pretty soon you'll know your part. In the refrain or in the verse, these aren't just my songs, I'm passing them along because I heard them first. So when your soul needs fixing, and your life's a contradiction, and you're burning down like a cigarette, I got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, cause you ain't dead yet. Something more, it's not to steer this ship to shore or rescue those who'd rather leave. Cause I'm part of this crew, I'm in this boat with you, cause I've always believed that when your soul needs fixing, and your life's a contradiction, and you're burning down like a cigarette, I got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, cause you ain't dead.
John Batdorf, Michael McLean, off their new Soundtracks to Recovery CD. Mark, are we okay? You look... I just want to make sure. Okay, cool. And that was titled Ain't Dead Yet. You're listening to KX93.5 FM. Michael, John, that seems like sort of an in-your-face kind of song, Ain't Dead Yet. Very powerful lyrics. How did that composition of that song between the two of you sort of come together?
Well, you know, we write so many different ways. Michael's yeah. such a gifted lyricist and as well as a songwriter. This particular song, I was just sitting in my room just thinking about my life and how much I love playing guitar and
right.
and how much songs are important to me, and ran the idea by Michael and had a little chorus going, and then Michael had some great ideas, and that's how we write. Sometimes he writes all the lyrics, sometimes I write all the music, sometimes
you got that Lennon McCartney thing going on.
Whatever is needed, the other guy supplies.
That sounds great. Michael, you're sort of a self-described LDS composer.
Well, I didn't describe myself that way, but a lot of
somebody did.
I've been very, very lucky to have a very strong fan base of Mormons that have been, bought a couple million of my records over the last 30 years, and I'm very, very grateful. Although, I grew up in Chicago and just outside of New York City, and kind of the only Mormon guy that I knew, so I never thought of myself as writing LDS music, but I am. Jerry Seinfeld's a Jew, I'm a Mormon.
Okay. Well, John was saying earlier that you're also a playwright. I think you've written a couple of books on happiness.
I got 5 books out, one of which is, a little thing called Mission to Be Happy. And my books have accompanying CDs. 22 years ago, the first time John and I met in person was I wrote a book called The Forgotten Carols, which was a Christmas story that had an accompanying CD because it was a story about this crazy guy who thinks he's 2,000 years old and brought these carols through the centuries. And one of the songs, John wrote this killer a cappella arrangement and then sang the lead on it. And I think our first, we'd done stuff over the phone and kind of, before there was even internet stuff that we could do, and we'd ship stuff back and forth, and really liked that process. And he came into the studio and sang this thing, and so I've just included him on things that I've wanted to do because I trust him so deeply, and he's just such a great musician and singer. I mean, talk about Renaissance guy.
Yeah, and it sounds like you guys are good friends as well, which I think makes that collaboration process a lot more pleasurable, if you will. You're listening to KX93.5, by the way. In the studio today, we have John Batdorf on the phone, Michael McLean here to talk about their new CD, Soundtracks to Recovery. John, I want to go to a song live in about 2 seconds.
Sure,
but
man.
First, I don't understand the title of the album, Soundtracks to Recovery. I need somebody to explain that to me. Michael or John?
Yeah, come on, let Michael take this.
One of the things that we found in not only our own close family members, but a lot of people that I've spoken with who have been encouraging on this process. When you go into a rehab, one of the first things that happens is they take away your iPad or iPod, because there are songs that trigger your addiction, and they have to get it out of your life. The songs that make it even more difficult for you to avoid the things that are just destroying your life. And so they get the soundtrack, if you will, to your addiction out of your life, and then you get out of the clinic or you enter the real world. And what all too often happens is you don't have a soundtrack to your recovery. And so the whole concept of what if, and we're not pretending with this album that we're the only guys that have songs that would help people hold on and kind of review a lot of the things that they learned in their 12-step programs or whatever. But we thought, but maybe we could do something. And the concert that John spoke of earlier, where we had those 700 folks, and we said, we know you're trying to get rid of the soundtrack to your addiction. What would you think if we offered these as a soundtrack? And we did it with an X and a 2 because we thought, we're so old that we thought that was edgy and cool.
Yeah, that makes us look really hip.
So we called it, and we wanted it to be upbeat. And we decided, well, we're not going to call ourselves the Self-Righteous Brothers. We're just going to present this, and so that's where the title came from.
Gotcha.
I think our working title, maybe 6 years ago, may have been 12 Songs for 12 Steps, but then it really expanded beyond that because we had some other things we wanted to say in addition and expand upon that.
You know what I think is so smart about this? This is Dawn. Is that one of the main things addicts need to do is learn how to feel their feelings and sit with their feelings and process their feelings, because they've been pushing their feelings down with their substance of choice or their activity of choice. And music is just a fantastic way to a door that people can walk through to really explore their feelings and kind of sit with them for a while. I see that throughout your song list here.
Yeah, that sounds great. John, let's go to a live song, if you don't mind. I know you've been playing last night till, I think you told me, 2 o'clock in the morning at the Far West Conference here.
It's 2:30, but who's counting?
All right, who's counting? Who's timing that out? You were up early at about 6 or 7 to make it here this morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure I actually went to sleep. I might have just been sitting in my chair or something. I don't know. So.
Well, as you know, as I said earlier, I do appreciate you making this extra effort for coming down. And I want to talk also about your contribution to the video we're working on for the 25th anniversary.
Sure.
What song do you think you'd like to open up with?
Well, it was, as Michael had mentioned, you know, we started writing songs when there really was no internet. At least we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we used to write was, I didn't even have a fax machine. We used to go to this mailbox, et cetera, place, and then I would sing melodies or just song ideas on Michael's answering machine, or send him a cassette through Federal Express. And as time has gone on, I'm really, really happy to be in this age now. The technology is so fantastic.
Right.
But, you know, as we are learning the technology, this is a song that, as we've been working on this thing, which has kind of been, you know, ongoing, Michael sent me this email. And I just bought my baritone guitar, which I'd actually need to, I actually have it. I've been working on this melody and this song concept, and Michael sent me this email with this lyric on it, Heaven Help Me.
Hmm.
And I thought, oh, great. You know, so I started working it in with this thing that I've been working on. I said, my gosh, this is so perfect.
Right.
It's like he was in the room when I was doing it.
Nice.
Well, the thing was, he had already written a song, and the email hadn't got to me with his music yet.
Oh.
So I sent him this thing. I said, Michael, this is great. This is fantastic. He goes, well, didn't you get my version? I go, no, I didn't. Sorry, somehow it got lost in the mail. So he says, well, yours is better anyway. So that's
and the title of the song is?
Is Heaven Help Me.
Heaven Help Me?
Yes, and Heaven Help Me if I can sing this early. I'll try it.
All right, you got it.
Heaven help me, I'm so sorry. How can I make this up to you? Heaven help me, 'cause this ain't easy, and I'll do all that I have to do. And I know time, and I know it will take all my might, and I know, oh, heaven help me, I'm gonna make this right, I promise you, I'm gonna make this right. It's okay now. After all that I put you through, 'cause trust is precious, I have to earn this. You need to witness me being true. And I And I know it will take all my might. And I know, you know I promised you I'm gonna make this right. Heaven help me, I'm so sorry.
There we go. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
No, yeah, that was beautiful, John. Thanks. Beautiful song. Are you listening to John Batdorf in the studio at KX 93.5 FM? On the phone, we have Michael McLean talking about their new CD, Soundtracks to Recovery. Michael, John's in the process of changing guitars. Let me ask you a question here, and that is, how can music bring about therapeutic change?
You know, that's a great question, because as John said earlier, we both have seen it and really believe that it does. And I've kind of asked myself over and over again, why is it that you can sing things to people that you could, that if you said it to them, that either ignore it or blow it off or be offended or, you know, whatever, why is that? What is it about that? And I think it's because there's something about the combination of what a lyric does in the part of your brain that's cognitive, and what the music does to the part of your heart that is kind of intuitive. And this thing happens where the whole of that, I think, becomes greater than the sum of the parts. You know, you can look at a lyric and say, oh, that's what a great thought or an interesting sentiment. But man, you know, I'm thinking about John just now, just singing that back and thinking about when we wrote it. And suddenly I'm feeling the yearning of someone who's trying to follow that step of kind of make amends and make restitution and genuinely trying to figure it out. And I'm thinking, you're absolutely right. Something happens that gives you a little bit more of a deep feeling beyond just, oh, this is a great idea. No, this is something that we need to do. And you know, I'm sure there are scientists and doctors and great therapists who could understand or explain how that happened.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I think has a lot to do with it is this part of community that needs somebody else to just love us enough to, and when you sing a song to somebody as John just did, there's that feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one here. I am not alone, and whatever this journey demands, and anybody who's tried to go through any kind of recovery, particularly addiction recovery, we screw up. We make these promises, we do pretty great, then we fall farther back, two steps forward, sometimes three steps back. But when you are reminded by another human being who says, I'm a human being too, and I get it, but just, it isn't how many times you fall down. You've got to get one more time.
Well, I love that, Michael. I mean, you sound so insightful and sincere, and definitely you're so well-spoken. On your donation pledge, your guys' donation pledge on the website, it reads, let us know how many copies you think you'd like to share, and we'll send them regardless of the size of donation you can make. What website can people go to track down this album? How are you proposing to sort of work that sort of donation process?
Well, at this point, because we don't have our website built for Soundtracks to Recovery, I've had an ongoing website, and which is johnbatdorfmusic.com. And for every album I've done since I've started recording again, I have a little link that goes to that particular album, and where you can hear all the songs from it and read the lyrics and read the people who participated in the record. And then we have the buy page, which normally there's a $15 charge for the CD, and this particular one we just have buttons that, you know, no matter what you push, you know, we'll send you the amount of CDs that you need, because it's a different kind of a thing. It's not your standard record. It's, you know, it's it's meant to be more than that.
Well, I totally agree. And you said you're not really actually selling it either. Like you said, you're just sort of donating money, and then you ship out the CDs to those who donate the money.
Yes.
How do you propose people who buy this album, this CD, how do you propose they use it? I mean, listen to it front to back, beginning to the end, pick out a couple of songs they like. People who are recovering, I want you to think about the people who are recovering, the people you spoke, you performed for, the 700 people a year ago or so, the people you'll be performing for at the Phoenix House. Now, how do you propose they use this CD?
Well, as Michael said, it's a time when you're maybe by yourself and you need to hear something.
Okay.
And the best way to really demonstrate the power of what this is when people see it live. Because you can talk about it till you're blue in the face, and you can put out CDs and websites and say blah, 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 blah. When people see it live, and we spoke about this at breakfast, it's remarkable. And I've been singing my whole life. I mean, that's all I've ever done.
Right.
And this is probably the most unique audience that I've ever played for.
I mean, I would think
probably
so.
Used to play for people that were on drugs a long time ago, but this is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
In the liner notes,
yes,
these aren't normal liner notes. They have they kind of walk you through each.
It's like a song setup. Yes, right.
And kind of suggest ways to hear the song that might assist in recovery. I think that's really smart.
Well,
and another thing too is that different things hit you when you're ready to receive them. I think, and
that's a good point.
If you're thinking nobody gets what I'm going through, and you hear I don't always win, you may resonate there because you're not at step nine, which or ten, which is the heaven help me phase, and so maybe that's what's helpful now. Or maybe you've gotten through this process and need to be reminded of it. And so If You Could See Me Now is a song that kind of speaks to you. Or maybe there's somebody, there's a song on the album called Mama's Coming Home Tonight, and it's about a family, a father trying to get his kids ready for his mother who's coming home from rehab, his wife and their mother coming home from rehab. And it's kind of a story and a tribute to those who are trying to make a place. Or if you're a couple that's been colluding and having a real hard time with your relationship, one of my favorite songs on the CD is one of the last ones that we did called I Won't Go Down That Road Again. And so our hope is that if you can get presented to or listen to it kind of in a concert format, you can both pick and choose, this is what I need now, this is what I need this moment. And if you are listening because you've got loved ones, I was just over two nights ago with a great artist friend of mine whose son-in-law is recovering. And I said, give me a hint of what will help. And he went through, listened to the whole record and said, oh, I know exactly which tunes I need to get to him. Not now, right now. Thanks for dropping this off. And so we don't want a financial inability to pay to get in the way. But those who are moved by it, if they can pay, they may buy in their donations a couple of records that they don't take, but that we can pass along to somebody else, or that somebody else needs five because they've got close friends that need it, but they can only afford two. I trust that with something this important, I think the money's going to come from someplace. I know that's naive and crazy, but, John and I got a little bit of help and did a lot of it on our own dime, and we're just trusting if you do the right thing and try to change the world, the forces of the stars will align.
They'll be with you.
Exactly.
And it'll get, I mean, it's a little bit of like creating a radio station and wondering if anybody's going to listen. I mean,
Don has a question.
I just want to make sure everyone can access this because I think listeners may want to make a donation or get a copy of the CD or both. And I want to make sure we mentioned the website. We didn't spell the website.
Okay.
And there are a couple ways to spell John. There are a couple ways to spell Batdorf.
Right.
So it's www.johnbatdorfmusic.com. So it's John with an H and Batdorf with one T and one F.
Yes.
Correct?
Excellent.
Correct.
And so folks can go to that website to get the CD. I want to make sure people can
Thank you
that.
So much, John. I really appreciate that. John, we should make note that you contributed really one of the songs off this CD, Still Burn Bright in My Heart. Mm-hmm. We're using a good portion of that song, I think a minute, 10 seconds or mm-hmm. something, for this video project we're working on for the anniversary. And I just wanted to thank you again
sure.
for that contribution.
Thanks,
You've done
John.
That once or twice for me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much appreciated.
Great.
Are you
Happy
ready
to
play another song live off this particular CD? We're listening, by the way, KX93.5 FM. John Batdorf in the studio, Michael McLean on the phone. New
sure.
CD, Soundtracks to Recovery. John,
I'm not sure that I'm ready to, but I will.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I think I'd like to do a song that Michael had mentioned. It's called Mama's Coming Home Tonight.
Good.
And it's funny, you know, it's funny how music hits you differently each time you listen to it.
Right.
And there's a person that we're working with who's heard the music now for months because we've funneled it to her. And she got the record the other day, and one of the songs, Forgiveness, came on. And it just hit her at that moment, and she just broke down. It's, you know, it depends on what mood you're in,
sure.
what frame of mind you're in.
Yeah, of course.
And you can listen to this album over and over. There's 17 songs on it because yeah. Michael and I are perfectionists and we couldn't right. decide on 12, so we had to go 17.
And I got to believe you're going to hear a lot of anecdotal information from people who hear this album who are going to respond to you in various sorts of ways. So what's the title of this song?
Mama's Coming Home Tonight.
That sounds great. John Batman.
Make your beds and I'll take out the trash. Find that disc of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Put the flowers in the vase. Put those books back in the case. Clean this place up, Mama's coming home tonight. Feed the cat, give the dog a bath. What's that joke that always made her laugh? Your Sunday best. I get my best blue jeans pressed. Gotta look fine, 'cause Mama's coming home tonight. Bet she's been wondering if we've been alright. While she's been recovering, she might be scared to reunite. Mama's coming home tonight. She may be a little hard to read, so let her know that one thing's guaranteed. We're gonna love her more than we ever did before. We're so glad Mama's coming home tonight. Well, she's been working and she's had to fight. And she's been searching for ways to hang on to the light. Your mama's coming home tonight. Times when you should sit and hold her hand, don't have to say a single word. She needs to rediscover just how much we all love her, always, forever. If you need to know, I'll make it clear. I'm not going anywhere but here. I only want one life with my kids and with my wife. It'll be fine, 'cause Mama's coming home tonight. Well, she's my hero and she won't lose this fight for me and our family. I'm sure we're gonna be alright. Mama's coming home. Mama's coming home tonight.
John, you're an amazing guitarist as well. That's open tuning, right?
That's in Dad Gad with a capo and a sixth fret, yes.
Wow.
I'm a sick person.
And it's so early morning, but you hit every note in that song. It's amazing.
I'm not admitting
that one got up there.
I did get up there. As a matter of fact, almost all of them seem to get up there.
Harder and harder each year, yeah. Probably. But
no,
I don't think
no,
you're...
No, no, no. I haven't changed keys once.
Oh, okay.
Wow. When I have to change keys, that's when I need to go fishing.
Okay. Nah. And you are a fisherman, right?
Oh, I love fishing. I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah.
that's the reason John and I keep writing songs, is because it's an excuse to go fishing together.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Hey,
and you know, I just want to add to the fact, as I was listening to that song, John,
yeah.
and like your fans there in the studio, thinking how great you sounded in Impossible Hour, but one of the things that's amazing about your voice and how you have taken care of it is it's richer and better, but it's not like I'm listening and thinking, here's the geezer guy singing this song. I mean, it's really, it's way cool and young. I mean, way to go. You sing great.
Yeah, and we should mention, you performed how many gigs last night at Far West Conference here in Irvine?
Well, I did. What happens is at Far West, which is a, Folk Alliance is an incredible thing.
Right.
And every year, there's a regional one, and this is the one for the West, and there's a national in February. And they have showcases that go between 10 and 7 and 10:30 at night. And from that point on till 3 in the morning, you go perform. There's a whole floor that's dedicated to Folk Alliance, and every room is a showcase room.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first showcase last night was at midnight. That went till 1, and then I was in a room from 1:30 to 2:30
mm-hmm.
singing.
Yeah.
And seems like I was just in that room. This is like another showcase I'm doing.
And then you got up, you're here, you're performing again tonight, three back-to-back sort of guerrilla showcases,
yes.
Or whatever you call them.
Yes, and I'm just trying to spread the word about the new album. And
that's great. Are they honoring Chris Hillman of the Birds, by the way?
They are, tonight.
Yeah. Yes. Is that tonight?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He's playing, I think, at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. I'm getting an echo, by the way, Mark. Am I okay? My vocals up? Okay. How do people contact you? I mean, you're taking this album, you're taking your performances on the road. Do you go solo? Does Michael go with you? How do people contact you if they're interested in bringing you to their facility somewhere?
Well, the fact that it's just out, it's funny, I
mean, literally, it just came out.
It just came out. As a matter of fact, I was waiting Friday. I had a job up in Morro Bay,
uh-huh.
And I was waiting to take the CD, and of course, the truck was late that day. I knew it was coming. I get a call from my wife about a half hour out of town. She goes, I got home and there's 6 boxes of CDs on the porch. What should I do with them? I go, well,
yeah.
I think you need to bring them in.
Oh.
So literally I just opened them up because I had another gig Sunday. So Monday I started going through the people who had donated and sent all the CDs out. And Michael and I have done one of these together, and I did the Phoenix House alone. But our plan is to do more of them together,
mm-hmm.
now that we actually have a product, because we've just been talking about it for years, and finally, as you can see, there's a record there.
Yeah, beautiful. Michael, John was saying earlier, you're a pianist and a vocalist as well?
Vocalist with a small V.
Okay. Do you harmonize with John when you guys get together?
Yes, we do. And, if we were hauling oats on oats,
Hall & Oates on Oates.
I'm the new Rodney. I can kind of get through it because I'm sincere and play the guitar. But he's clearly the star of this show, and I am just honored to be on the stage with him.
Mm-hmm.
And helps me. He's patient with me as I'm trying to learn my part.
That's interesting, John. Do you ever play songs other than your own? I mean, you noticed in that album, that song you just performed, the reference to Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big fan of theirs, by the way?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and the Beatles. I think somebody told me the Beatles, Crosby, Stills, Nash, maybe the Eagles. I don't know.
Well, as a matter of fact, when I came to California when I was 15,
uh-huh.
with a band, and I was supposed to come back and do my sophomore year in Beaver Creek, Ohio, after the band came out, tried to get a deal. And once
sophomore year of high school?
I came right after my freshman year.
Okay.
I was 15.
Wow.
And I decided that once I got to L.A., I said, I can't go back to Beaver Creek. This is where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right in the Summer of Love, when all the music was happening. And I came out from Ohio, although I played a little guitar. I played Wurlitzer electric piano in the band.
Hmm.
I was a keyboard player. And which I loved, and I loved the Beatles. But when I got to the West Coast, there was a new sound happening. The Buffalo Springfield came out.
Sure.
The Birds. And when I heard Bluebird.
Stephen Stills song.
Yeah, on the Buffalo Springfield Again record. I thought, my gosh, I've never heard anyone play an acoustic guitar like that.
Right.
I said, it's time for me to get rid of the Wurlitzer. So I got rid of the Wurlitzer and I got an acoustic guitar and started playing. And about 2 years later is when the Bad Dolph and Rodney deal happened.
Wow.
So I've been playing. I mean, I play piano okay. Michael's way better than me.
Yeah. But you were 17, 18 years old when you got a record deal?
18.
18 years old. Did you ever go back to high school?
No.
Yeah.
Although I did have to send my mom grades. I used to go to night school and private school. But I knew what school I needed. That was, you know, the music school. And
right.
I knew that I wasn't going to learn in regular school where I wanted to go and where I needed to be. So I just prepared myself for the big moment, and that's when we got our audition with Ahmet Erdogan, and we were prepared. I mean, that's all you can be in life is ready.
Yeah,
you know.
I think Bad Dorf and Rodney's biggest hit. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was maybe You Are a Song? Would that be?
That was probably their biggest AM hit.
AM
our
hit.
Biggest FM hit was Home Again.
Home Again.
That was because I just spent 2 weeks back east and. That was like a big hit for us back
then. Yeah, it was a big hit back then, and I think it's one of the most requested of your songs even today, is it not?
It may be, yes.
Yeah.
It may be.
So beautiful. Michael, any last thoughts on this Rediction recovery album before we go to John with maybe one last song or so?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for giving us this time and helping, you know, kind of cheer us on. You know, we're addicted songwriters. We can't
right.
we can't help it. And we kid that if we ever do win the lottery, we'll just keep writing songs until it's all gone.
Right.
And and so I'm really appreciative of your willingness and the fact that just from the questions you ask and the comments of your team there, that you get this. And, man, after this many years of work, that's validating and encouraging. And the other thing is that I just, for those who may be listening and I've heard some of the songs and are wondering about it, I just want to add my voice to John's with these songs, that wherever you are in this process, we promise you are not alone in this. And we can't do everything, but we're trying to do something, and this is what we know how to do. And see this not just as an effort to get another collection of songs out in the cosmos. This is our way of saying we can't sit down with you right now and hold your hand and say, don't give up, you're going to be okay.
Right.
This is what we're doing, and thank you for giving us that chance.
Well, thank you for saying that, Michael. Very kind of you. Here's Don.
And I just want to say from the perspective of someone who works with addicts every day, at the shelter, 70% of the people who come to the shelter are recovering from some sort of a substance addiction. You're going to change some lives with this. This is really powerful stuff. It's really spot on in terms of 12-step recovery. And I want to encourage anyone who might listen to this either live now or on a podcast later who maybe hasn't entered a 12-step program that all you got to do is Google or go to your phone book or whatever. They're all over. One of the great things about 12-step programs is they are everywhere. And so if someone is if things are resonating with you for the first time today, reach out. It's there.
Thank you, Don, for that. John, we talked earlier. I'm not sure we actually answered the question. Are you taking this on the road? What sort of gigs do you have coming up besides the Phoenix House? If there are organizations out there or associations or nonprofits that want to reach out, how does that process work?
Well, since I said we just got the project, we're really looking forward to next year. There's a lot of conferences, addiction recovery conferences that we want to perform at. They have music there, but I don't know that they have people that have spot-on music like this.
Yeah.
There's a guy at the Folk Alliance, Neil Scott, who has been on, has a recovery radio out of Seattle for 8 years. And just did an interview with him, and he's a big fan of the past and loves the new stuff. And he's helped a little bit, and there's Vicky Lighty, who is in Columbia, Missouri, works with Phoenix House, and she's trying to help as well. I mean, we know that if people saw us perform and saw this thing live, again, that's how you get it.
I agree.
You know that it's not some BS thing. It's this is a real thing, and it's coming from people who've experienced it, and have gone through it, at least as of today.
That's great, John.
And so...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Michael, John's going to play one last song to lead us out. I'm going to ask you one question, and I want the shortest answer you can give me, but I want it as sincere as possible. You've written something called Mission to Be Happy. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what would you recommend to people who suffer from some sort of addiction? What would be sort of one of the first steps on that road to recovery, on that road to becoming happy again?
Well, I've battled clinical depression my whole life, mm-hmm. and I took my meds this morning, so I should be okay for the rest of the interview.
Right.
I think the first most important step in learning how to be happy is recognizing that you don't have to do this by yourself.
Okay.
And that when you can't get there by yourself,
right.
One of the great things that the 12-step program reminds you of is that once you acknowledge, once you look inside and say, look at me, I can't do this alone, and you are willing to humbly ask for help,
okay.
and recognize that help can come,
that sounds
great. That's the first beginning to learning where happiness can be found.
Michael, you're a gentleman and a scholar. I really appreciate everything. Don, do you have a comment? Or?
Nope, just okay. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Yeah.
Great show.
John, what do you want to take us out with? We talked earlier about which song?
Yes, you requested something from a long time ago that has nothing to do with this album. But
no.
Since you are connected to the past of when I was a kid, I would be happy to try to sing something I wrote when I was a kid.
That sounds great.
It was on the very first Bat Dorf and Rodney album.
How old were you when you wrote this song? 18?
I was probably 19 at this point. This was we had gone to Muscle Shoals with Ahmet Erdogan to do our first album, and I had a whole bunch of songs, and we thought the album was done, and Ahmet told me that he said, you know, I don't think we're quite there yet. He goes, I want you to try to write songs. Don't try to write hits. Just try to write what you feel.
Okay.
So, of course, I was 19. I had no idea what he was talking about.
This is one
of the songs that I wrote, which I'm really glad I did. I wrote this one. I wrote Me and My Guitar and Don't You Hear Me Calling were the three songs that I wrote.
This one's titled?
This is called Let Me Go.
Excellent.
Never thought that life would be the way it turned out to be. How was I to know? How was I to know? Roads leading everywhere to places meant for learning. A never-ending flow. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go, let me go. Judgment Day is every day. Temptations always yearning. Living high to low, living high to low. Today should be my best day. All my yesterdays are burning. We never cease to grow. Let me go. Let me go. April comes and let there be no mourning. Make the darkness go, let me go, let me go, let me go.
John Batdorf, 19 years old when he wrote that song. Incredible guitar work there, my friend. I mean, amazing that you even came up with that. We overstayed our welcome here. John, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us about your next CD, Soundtracks to Recovery, with Michael McLean. Michael, once again, if you're still online, thank you for your time, my friend. I guess we've lost him. We're a little behind schedule. Ida May's out there. She's coming in. She's steaming. Uh-oh. I feel it. She's angry. Oh, no, she's not, she said.
She can recover from that. We have a cut for that.
Yeah, there's a 12-step.
Okay.
Ida May, there's a 12-step program for that. Don't worry.
I think you're fantastic. Oh, I'm happy that you're bleeding into my show, let me tell you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Wonderful. We're out of here. KX93.5 FM. Up next, Ida May. Mark, take us away.
And how long they will last, 'cause I'm tired of all the